Gospel from Mark chapter 6. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. And as he, Jesus, went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to a land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Have you ever been to the Eloise Butler Wildflower Garden in Minneapolis? Now, I had no intention of going there myself. July 2019, 2 years ago, I had driven to the Twin Cities to see my two boys, Micah and Jordan, and it was the afternoon of the 4th of July. Both boys had made plans with friends as young adults in their mid-20s do, busy in their first jobs, especially when it involves a rare day off in the middle of summer in the land of lakes, getaways, and deserted places. So I told them, no worries. The three of us had plans to go on a food tour and attend a Twins game the next day. The city was bustling with the energy of July 4th. I would be just fine on my own. And I was fine. I was more than fine. I actually needed some time alone to decompress. Even an extrovert needs time to stop and breathe. Work life at the church I was called to in Aberdeen was rich and full, and I needed a respite, a day off. And surprise, in the hotel lobby, I discovered a jewel of peaceful adventure just 5 minutes away, the Eloise Butler Wildflower Garden. There it is, the 13-acre native plant reserve. It's the oldest public wildflower garden in the United States. It remains rustic with a log cabin visitor center complete with an in-house library. Oh, hiking and bird watching filled with prairie flowers and a 5-acre tamarack bog complete with a floating poly boardwalk. And it was free. The perfect escape. A nestled pocket of peace with the Minneapolis skyline peeking through the branches of the trees. And on the 4th of July, I had the garden to myself. It was practically deserted. Most folks were off doing 4th of July things, and I was forest bathing in the middle of my favorite city. Peace. What is your definition of peace, and what does peace look like to you? I invite you to just close your eyes and take a minute and envision it, that peaceful place. Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 6, verse 30, is listening to his apostles chatter away about what they had been doing and teaching, because earlier, Jesus had sent these 12 out two by two, scripture tells us, giving them authority over unclean spirits. equipping them to proclaim that all should repent, instructing them to anoint with oil those who were sick, and then healing them. The 12 had been busy doing this missionary work sent by Jesus. Now, they couldn't wait to tell Jesus all they had done. We pause here. I wonder if one thing they shared with Jesus was that his beloved John the Baptist had been beheaded while in prison. Perhaps John the Baptist's disciples had told Jesus' disciples. News travels, especially the tragic kind. So here's Jesus, and at this point in the story, probably exhausted from his own teaching and healing, equipping his followers, and then taking in the heartbreaking news of John. All the while, not even taking the time to eat, says, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Why does the Gospel of Mark record Jesus' words in this way? Why did Jesus not say, come away with me, or to a deserted place all by ourselves, or let's rest a while together? What is the gospel telling us about Jesus? The writers of Mark must have known that Jesus was indeed a shepherd, first and always. And where there are sheep, a shepherd is needed. Because right after they get into the boat, crowds from all the towns, Scripture shares with us, hurry to the shore, and the writer of Mark says Jesus went ashore. And Jesus had compassion on the crowd. Why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus was indeed a shepherd, first and always a shepherd of sheep. I would have shared with those kids I shared with you, yes? No matter how exhausted, no matter the deserted place. We humans, we tend to make fun of sheep. Sheep get lost. Sheep can't lead themselves. Sheep find themselves in trouble and need rescuing. Sheep need their wool to be shorn in order to fully function. And sheep can't seem to stay together. But Jesus in Scripture said, my Sundays and Seasons worship resource reminds me, does not ridicule sheep, never. Scripture is filled with unexpected stories and storytellers. Storytelling about sheep needing a shepherd is where we find ourselves in the story. Getting lost, needing to be rescued, needing to be shorn from all that weighs us down, needing to be rounded up into a community and being looked after by a shepherd that models what it looks like to look out for one another. Ah, the heart of the story. Why we humans like sheep need a shepherd. We so desperately want to go our own way. Listen to some words of sheep. You can't tell me what to do. I have rights as a sheep. I demand freedom that no one can take away from me. I don't need to mingle with other sheep I don't know or I don't like. Their wool is funny looking, and I don't like how they smell. I don't want to care for sheep from another field. Let them stay behind their own fence, and I will go my own way in my own meadow and be my own sheep. Jesus sees us. He knows we are sheep in need of a shepherd. We wouldn't blame Jesus if he was tired of being a shepherd of sheep, even for part of a day. Here in today's story, Jesus has a chance to escape being a shepherd, just for a bit. Escape the crowds, those he has been teaching, those he's been healing, and they're pressing in. And he and his followers have a chance to be by themselves. We do not know how long Jesus has to be by himself. We don't know how long he and his followers went away to a deserted place. Did he even get a chance? We do know that Jesus, coming ashore, sees the crowds, sees them, sees us, sees what he must do because he has compassion that only God, through Jesus, has. The power to love, no matter what. And God's love is greater than anything. God's love is what Jesus is. God's love. It is boundless. It has no end. It has no beginning. God's love always was and always will be such that God in Jesus was and is always a shepherd, caring for sheep. We, all of us, we do need to get away sometimes for rest, for peace, to refresh, to take delight in our surroundings, to have fun. I have to go to the community theater. I was there last night to see the musical. Great job on the percussion, Pastor Ted. Delightful. That's my getaway. And to ponder the life of faith God is calling us to. The humanity of Jesus needed rest, needed food. The humanity of Jesus needed peace. The God Jesus is called to peace in the most expansive of definitions. And not a definition we understand, but rather one we must wrestle with. Not peace, meaning lack of a visible conflict. Not a hidden, lovely, surreal, atmospheric sense of calm. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. But we're talking about Jesus now. Rather, a peace that passes all understanding. Jesus is our peace. The writer of Ephesians we heard read reminds us, readers, peace is Jesus making us one, breaking down the fences that divide us. What does this mean for us, beloved siblings of Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep? How is Jesus our peace? How is this peace described and delivered? Hear this quote from Janelle Schlichting in her homilies for the Christian people that describe God's peace. And I quote, "It is a strange peace. A disruptive peace, a peace that often demands suffering, conflict, the pouring out of self, all in the likeness of Jesus, who won our peace by his blood, who gave himself on a cross, uniting us who were far off, who were killed, who was killed for our hostility, who was broken for our wholeness." Unquote. This is the call to peace. Jesus lives in the fullness of every moment of his ministry, with crowds pressing in on the shore, and he with the chance at a boat ride to a deserted place. The fullness of God, peace, does not leave him. This fullness, this peace, draws Jesus back to the crowds, to us. To the pouring outer of God's self into an ache of love for all people. Peace and love come together. We are the sheep Jesus sees from the boat. We are what Jesus pours his disruptive, wholeness-making peace into. So, what might our response be? What might our prayer be to this great shepherd, Jesus? That we might be united as a flock. That no matter our wool, No matter our field of origin, might our meadows mesh into a curiosity and a call to care for all sheep everywhere. Despite conflict and danger and misunderstandings, may there be a way to bunch up. No need for fences. May we too be peacemakers, pouring out ourselves all in the likeness of Jesus. In response, in prayer, we know we need a shepherd whose peace passes all our understanding. May nothing separate us from the boundless love and peace of Jesus, our shepherd. Amen.